The gift of Jesus is to be unwrapped and given. Jesus didn't come to this earth so that you and I could hoard Him to ourselves and just get on our way to heaven.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
And I want to welcome you back to the second part of the message entitled, Is There Room for Jesus? If you're struggling today, I want to encourage you. And the encouragement is simply this, that as your life may seem to be in despair and unraveling, quite possibly maybe God is trying to get your attention. You know, God works in mysterious ways, and He works many times through the difficulties and the struggles and the trials of life. So my prayer today for me and for you is not that we would pull back from Jesus and press into the world, but just the opposite. My prayer today is that we would pull back from the world and press into Christ. And so let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 7, as we listen to the second part of the message entitled, Is There Room for Jesus?
Luke tells us something very important in the next verse when he says this. Verse 5, look at this together. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife who was with child. Now let's pause. There's a census that needs to be taken. Joseph's a righteous, just man, and so he's going to obey and going to take the census, going to Bethlehem. There's not taxis. Uber wasn't invented. So hey, we're on our two feet, and yet in the midst of this, he's betrothed. He's engaged. Mary and Joseph are engaged. In that culture in that day, it was binding as though they were married. Yet here's the deal. They're engaged. The relationship has not been consummated. And wait a minute. She's got a child on the way. From the human perspective, the question is, hey, Houston, we got a problem. What are we going to do? Well, you got to remember that Joseph is a righteous man. And that day, just think through this. You're bound, you're engaged, it's not consummated, the relationship. And the wife-to-be is with child. Just imagine how this looks. I mean, I know in our day today, this is commonplace, right? Everyone's cohabitating. Everyone's having children out of wedlock. It's just kind of what you do. Although God says it's not what you do. You back this thing up not just to the Waltons era, but you back this all the way up to this day and age and this Jewish culture. And you understand the gravity and the weight of what's going on here. To say this doesn't look good is an understatement of mass proportions. And yet what do Mary and Joseph continue on? They continue on the path that God has placed before them. I don't know where you are in your life today. I don't know the struggles. I don't know the heartache. I don't know the pain. You may be seemingly, your life may be seemingly unraveling before your eyes. But can I encourage you today that if you are on the path that God has laid before you, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what's falling apart in your life or around your life, can I encourage you today that when God sets a path before you, stay on that path and just allow Him to handle all that takes place as you're obedient to His call? I mean, can you imagine? Joseph finds out that Mary's with child. I mean, put yourself in that position, guys. You're engaged. You're betrothed. You're bound legally as though you're married. to get divorced in that culture with that situation and the stigma that would go along with that is overwhelming. And yet Joseph, because he's an honorable, just man, does not do any of that, but yet he stays by her side. That even though I'm sure the flesh had to be just ripping him apart at some point on this journey, going, wait a minute, I'm engaged to you, this has not been consummated, but yet you're with child. This isn't adding up. And yet when God leads, God will, through the Holy Spirit, like He did in Mary's life, God will use the Holy Spirit to lead a person into uncharted waters that they have no clue of how this thing's going to work out. But I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture where God led into uncharted waters, and it may not have worked out like the person had desired it to. But I'll tell you this, where God leads, He feeds. And where God guides, He provides. And you can rest in this today, that when you're following God, even in a hostile culture that says, we don't know what to do with Jesus now, you can rest assured that since your God, the great God of the Bible, is for you, who can be against you? And yet the flesh still comes back and can you imagine Joseph and Mary trying to explain this to people? Well, you see, this angel named Gabriel, he came to me. And so he came to me and he said, you're going to bear the Christ child. His name's going to be called Jesus. And yes, you haven't consummated anything, but by the power of this Holy Spirit, He's going to fill you with this child. Can you imagine the blank looks you're getting by your friends and co-workers and your neighbors and your family members as you're explaining this? They're going, oh, sure, yeah, good one. Good one. Yeah, we like this one. Never heard this one before. I've heard that the dog ate the homework, but I never heard this one. Wow, this is a good one, Mary. And yet the reality is what she's saying is exactly true. Matter of fact, if you remember back there in Luke 1, 31 through 33. That's exactly what happened. Gabriel comes on the scene to Mary and he says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, capital S, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. There it is, the lineage of David. But don't forget 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end, period. Praise be to God. Amen. I mean, here's Mary again, though. Most likely peasant girl. That culture, that Jewish culture of the day, many times they got married between 12 and 14 years old. Can you imagine the fear from a fleshly perspective? Can you imagine what went through her mind? Can you imagine the doubt and the fear and the worry, at least initially, that entered her mind and her heart and was jockeying for position in her life? But yet, little did she know that the one that she would bear, Jesus Christ, that He's the one. He's the one that wants to fill the human heart. He's the one that wants to push all the other junk and idols out of the heart. He's the one that not only wants to do this, but He's the one that has the power to do this. And yet at the end of the day, it was not fear that trumped and ruled in Mary's heart. It was the faithful one, Christ. It wasn't worry, but it's the one who makes people worthy. It was Jesus who trumped through this Holy Spirit that does the work that only the Holy Spirit can do as He works in the human heart. And imagine, here comes Gabriel, and this comes on the scene, and there's Mary, and she responds in a glorious, beautiful way. We see this as the angels on the scene there, Gabriel, and we know that with God, nothing will be impossible. But right there in 38, then Mary responded, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Praise be to God. Mary heard this news. She could not believe it. How can this be? I have not known a man. I have not consummated this act. Oh, how can this be? Oh, nothing's impossible with the great God of the Bible. And I'll tell you what, you take the great God of the Bible and His power and what He can do and the redemption and the restoration and the reconciliation, and you take all that He brings to the table in His holiness and His splendor and His grandeur, and you partner that with a willing vessel like Mary that just simply says, oh, I'm coming to you with my hands stretched wide open. I'm coming to you not with fists that are clenched, but with fists that are palms up and wide open. Oh, I'm coming to you saying, behold, your servant, your maidservant is here. Use me for your glory, for your praise. Because at the end of the day, Joseph and Mary had room for Jesus. See, the days were completed in verse 6 for her to be delivered. I love this because when you look at verse 6 there, even prior, it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I love this part here. This is so crucial to your life today. Do you understand this? That this would not have happened unless they were there. Are you getting this? This would not have transpired unless they were there. There was the place that God had ordained for this to take place. And this took place because of the obedience of Joseph and Mary, because they had room for Jesus, and they knew that they needed to get there. You say, what is there? Well, there, obviously, in this context, is Bethlehem. More specifically, it's the manger because there was no room for Him in the inn. But how does this apply to your life today? There. You want to know where there is? There is wherever God is telling you to go. I can assure all of us this. There is not the place where God is telling you not to go. Today, God may be telling you, you need to go, and I'm going to send you to be my quote-unquote servant, my maid servant, that I will use you as you simply come to me with no longer fists clenched, but arms wide open, and you run into my presence as you're running hard after me and chasing after me. God says, oh, I want you to go there. You may be thinking, I have no clue of where there is. Get on your face, get on your knees, get in God's Word, and He will show you where there is. All of this leads up to verse 7, which I believe is our pivotal verse. Look at verse 7 together. And she brought forth, that's Mary, of course, her firstborn son, capital S, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The question to me and you, is there room for Jesus in our hearts today?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I don't know about you, but as I was reading through this text here in preparation, I couldn't help but think about the parallels between Jesus coming to this earth and eventually exiting this earth. I mean, look at this for just a moment together. Number one, God brought forth His Son to this earth. Mary brought forth the Christ child to the earth as well. I mean, Jesus came. Jesus arrived. Jesus was delivered. He literally was delivered, God incarnate through Mary, that she was the vessel that physically delivered this child. And so the first key point is Jesus came in obedience to the Father that I might live. Just write that down today. Jesus came in obedience to the Father that I, that you might live. Turn with me for just a moment to Romans 5. Hold that place in your Bible. But turn to Romans 5, looking at verses 6 through 11. Romans 5, 6 through 11. Should be a few pages just to your right. Here's what the Word of God says about Jesus coming to this earth out of obedience so that I, that you might live. Here it is. Romans 5, 6 through 11. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Praise be to God. Amen. Verse 7. For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Now here it is, verse 8 and following. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than this, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. And all God's people said, Amen. See, Mary obeyed. Mary and Joseph said, we're going to go on this mission. It's not going to be easy. But they obeyed, and we saw before that that Jesus obeyed the Father as He came as God incarnate. Therefore, we go back to Romans and we see this, that we have been reconciled, but that God, He demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Are you getting this today? That while we were still sinners, Jesus came in obedience to be born, and He was born for this reason. He was born to die. But the second point is this. After Jesus was executed on the cross, He was placed in a grave or a tomb. After Jesus was born, He was placed in a manger or a feeding trough. Write this down. Jesus is the greatest gift ever. See, the irony is that the grave was a feeding trough of sorts. I mean, picture this. Jesus Christ, He's just been executed. They've taken the body down. It's been a brutal, horrific execution. There's been miracles, though, however. We've seen darkness all over the land. We've seen bodies getting up out of the grave and walking into the holy city. We've seen a centurion there stand at the cross and simply say, truly, this was the Son of God. We've seen miracle upon miracle in the midst of difficulty. And that's what happens when God's in a situation. It may be adverse. It may be your adverse situation today. But as you follow in obedience and you're at that place called there, here's what happens. God does miracles at the place called there. And this grave, this tomb is a container of sorts. It's a springboard that when Jesus Christ on that third day exited triumphantly out of that tomb, nothing that that tomb had been made to seal Him in with could restrain nor hold back the power of the risen King, Lord Jesus. Therefore, he went forth as the bread of life from this quote-unquote feeding trough of the tomb. And yet here he is in our text today. He's born in a manger, a literal feeding trough for animals. That here he came humbly, not in pomp and circumstance with red carpet in royal Jerusalem. But he was born where there was no room for him, figuratively and literally, no room for Jesus there on that day that he was born. He was humbly born. But do we understand this? He's coming back again. And when he comes back again, he's coming back triumphantly on a white horse. And on his thigh, it will say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And out of his mouth will be a sword. And he will rule and he will reign triumphantly because Jesus is our King. And so just like in the manger is a feeding trough, the grave itself was a feeding trough of sorts as the Word, as the bread of life was launched out of, was sprung forth into glorious day. And Jesus even said right here in John chapter 6, 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Is there room for Jesus in your life today? You go, I don't know about that, but man, I am hungering for peace. I am thirsting for joy. I am hungering for contentment. I'm thirsting to find what I'm here for and what my purpose is on this earth. Let me tell you this from that simple verse there. If you're looking to satisfy and solve those questions apart from Christ, you will never find the answer. Which beautifully leads into the third point, and that is this. That after Jesus was executed, he was wrapped in grave clothes, strips of linen, which we know right from John 19:4. But also after Jesus was born on this earth, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. See, this is very key. Write this down. The gift of Jesus is to be unwrapped and given. Jesus didn't come to this earth so that you and I could hoard him to ourselves and just get on our way to heaven. I believe there's so many people in churches today that have never witnessed one time to any person, that have never shared the love of Jesus in any way, shape, or form. But if you were to ask them today, they would forcefully and bluntly tell you this, hey, I walked an aisle, I got wet, I'm on my way to heaven. And yet God's Word is very clear that we're to bear good fruit as we go and make disciples. There's a reproduction of discipleship making that is glaringly evident from what Christ did on this earth. As I just alluded to, Jesus doesn't save you and I just so we can go to heaven. If that was the case, wouldn't he save us and then we'd be immediately raptured? I mean, heaven's greater than anything this world could ever give us. I mean, on your best day, this does not compare to what you're living right now, to what heaven will be like. That new heaven and that new earth, oh, this is a sham compared to that. So why on earth, if the only reason is for us to be saved in Christ, why aren't we then raptured away from this mess? I think God's Word is clear. Jesus doesn't save us just so that we will go to heaven. Jesus saves us so that others will see Him in us and they themselves will want what we have named Jesus and they in turn will go to heaven as well. Jesus just wasn't born for me. Jesus just didn't die for me. Jesus just wasn't born for you. He didn't just die for you. Jesus died that we in turn, that as the new man is put on and the old man and woman is taken off, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we'd present our bodies as living sacrifices, that we would understand that it's not unto us, not unto us, but to your name we give glory, that we would live a life that says, oh God, Jesus, I want you more than I want anything else, therefore I want you to increase while I decrease. Oh, this is why Jesus came, that people would see in you and see in me that He lives within us, that He's the hope of glory, and they can have life abundantly and free, even in the midst of this chaos. But praise be to God, when He returns, oh, we're going to really have life abundantly and free like never before.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.